Good morning. Thank you for your early arrival. I feel very honored to be in the first session on Monday morning, and because I'm from a totally different time zone, I feel like it's the middle of the day. I'm sure some of you share that. This was a study that was done with a couple of my colleagues at the University of Kentucky, and it was actually a secondary analysis of a project that was funded by the American Legacy Foundation with my colleague Ellen Hahn as PI. And the purpose, what we wanted to do was to determine if there were ethnic differences in smoking, nicotine dependence, and readiness to quit between African-American smokers and Caucasian smokers who participated in a population-based cessation intervention. Just as to give you some background related to this issue, African-Americans have an unequal burden of tobacco-related disease and mortality compared to the rest of the general population. They are typically light smokers, and they typically start smoking at a later age, yet they may experience greater nicotine dependence, and they may be more likely to try to quit, but they typically have less confidence in their ability to do so, and they, in general, are less successful at quitting compared to Caucasians. And that was kind of our motivation for looking at this. We had, you know, this relatively large sample, albeit not a tremendous number of African Americans, but we, you know, anecdotally, we had heard these things, and we wanted to see, you know, did this hold in the study that we had? This was a cross-sectional study from the baseline interview of a controlled trial to test the effectiveness of a quit and win contest. And if you're not familiar with that type of contest, it's community-based. The idea behind it is to engage as many smokers who are thinking of quitting as possible and provide as much community-level support as possible to help encourage them to quit. And typically that's done via advertisements like billboards, radio ads. In this particular study, we also had a few TV spots on local channels. And so it's sort of the message gets out there that, you know, as a community, there are, you know, you have colleagues in this community who are also trying to do this, and sort of, you know, can we do this together? The people who were in the people who were in the contest, who joined the contest, so first of all, the advertisement comes out and says, you know, we're going to have this big month-long cessation contest. And if you want to join, you know, fill out this application to join this contest, and then there's a well-publicized quit date, and then 30 days after that is the end of the quit period, with the idea being that if someone can maintain abstinence for 30 days, they're well on their way to becoming a dedicated non-smoker. Smokers who join the contest then, one of the additional little questions that we put at the bottom of the entry form was, would you be interested in participating in this study? And the vast majority, about 85% of the people said, you know, we would. And we engaged about 500 of those people to form our treatment group. So these are obviously motivated, smokers who are motivated to quit being in the treatment group. In addition to the community level advertisements and so on, we also sent them reminder postcards, you know, you're doing great, with, you know, positive messages, that type of thing. And another aspect was, they had to name a non-smoking buddy, quote-unquote buddy, who would encourage their efforts to remain smoke-free and also verify their quit status at the end of the 30 days. So understanding that there's, you know, maybe some propensity to have a buddy who might not be totally forthright, but, you know, that was the idea behind it, to have that person who is, that you know in your life, who can also support your efforts. And then since we wanted to have this be a controlled trial, we also had smokers who were not exposed to any of the contest elements who were recruited via random digit dial, and so they formed the control group. Now, right away, there's obviously a discrepancy between the people in the contest and the people in the control group, and there was not a way to get, you know, it would have been ideal to have the control group be smokers who are motivated to quit but who are not exposed to the contest elements, but, you know, finding that is virtually impossible. So we have these two unequal groups that formed our treatment and control, and then I'll tell you a little bit about what the things that we looked at. We were interested in looking at readiness to quit smoking using a stage of change model. We looked at the Fagerstrom nicotine dependence scale, partner interaction questionnaire. So we asked them, you know, your closest friend, spouse, whoever, how do they support or fail to support your efforts to quit? And so there's a 20-item questionnaire called the partner interaction questionnaire that has 10 items that are positive and 10 items that are negative. That was one of the things that we asked them. We asked them about what had they attempted to quit before and what methods did they use for quitting. We asked them if in their family there was smoking in the home and smoking in the vehicle. And then the usual demographics, including ethnicity, age, gender, you know, et cetera. And the indicator for group, which is whether they were in treatment or control. So the way we handled the non-equivalence of the treatment and control was to control for it statistically. And I'll talk a little bit more about that in a minute. This is a really busy slide. I apologize. But just to give you an idea, the two ethnic groups were relatively similar in terms of their demographic characteristics and their smoking characteristics. Where they differed were cigarette smoking in the car. It's a little bit, I'm offline a little bit there. Cigarette smoking in the car. African Americans were less likely, only 59% reported cigarette smoking in the car compared to about 3/4 of Caucasians. So there were fewer African Americans having that secondhand smoke exposure in the vehicle. The other thing that's different is there were a larger percentage of treatment group participants in the African American subsample. And African Americans were more likely to report more negative partner support compared to Caucasians. So they, for example, positive and negative partner support. Positive support would be tries to distract me when I'm thinking about smoking a cigarette. Negative partner support would be like, oh, you'll never quit, you know, you can't quit, you know, stuff like that. So African American participants reported slightly higher negative partner support compared with Caucasians. So just in summary, African American smokers were older when they started smoking. This is consistent with the literature. They smoked fewer cigarettes per day, also consistent with the literature. This is a little bit different than the literature. The smokers that were in our study had lower Fagerstrom scores. That is, they were less nicotine dependent compared to the Caucasian subgroup. The two groups were equally likely to have attempted to quit. The African Americans were more likely to have only used evidence-based methods to quit. So we asked them, you know, what have you used to try to quit? And, you know, choices ranged from cold turkey, and we named all the various, you know, nicotine gum, patch, Zyban, et cetera. So all these different choices that they had. African Americans were more likely to have only used evidence-based methods to quit in the past, whereas Caucasians were more likely to have used a combination of, on some attempts, cold turkey, and then maybe some evidence-based methods. They were equally likely, compared with Caucasians, to have used evidence-based only on the most recent quit attempt. So this is readiness to quit. In our sample, we had participants in three different readiness stages. Pre-contemplation is the kind of stage where quitting smoking is not even on your radar. Contemplation is, you know, I'm thinking about it, but down the line somewhere. Preparation is, what can I do to try to get myself ready psychologically or, you know, in terms of my environment to actually quit? So we found when we compared these two groups of smokers that African Americans were more ready to quit, all things being equal, which is consistent with the fact that there was an overrepresentation of participants who were in the treatment group who had joined the contest. We looked at what predicted readiness to quit. This was using a multinomial logistic regression. African Americans were 6 times more likely to be in contemplation compared with pre-contemplation as the reference group relative to Caucasian participants, and the two groups were equally likely to be in preparation. And again, recognizing that there were differences between those two subgroups in terms of demographics and in terms of readiness to quit and so on, all those, that huge busy paragraph at the bottom where all the things we put in the model to statistically control for group differences. And we're still able to show that even adjusting for the fact that African Americans were more likely to have been in the treatment group, they still were more likely to be in contemplation relative to Caucasians. African Americans in this sample, just to reiterate some of the things we've touched on, they started smoking later and were lighter smokers. Nicotine dependence was actually lower in African American participants. They reported the same prevalence of smoking in the home, but the prevalence of smoking in the family vehicle was lower. And again, we can look at this and say that this could have been one of the things that they were doing to try and get themselves geared up for quitting, was to try and not smoke in the car as a starting point. They were farther along the stage of change. They were equally likely to have ever attempted to quit. But African-American smokers were more likely to have only used evidence-based quit methods, while Caucasian participants were more likely to have used both evidence-based and cold turkey when you looked at their whole quitting pattern over time. African-American participants were 6 times more likely to be in contemplation, and they both were equally likely to be in preparation. Obviously, this study is not without limitations, particularly because it was a secondary data analysis. Treatment group participants were more highly motivated than the control group, which we knew going into it, and we controlled for this statistically. While the percentage of African American smokers in this sample was consistent with the population from which it was drawn, obviously there was a relatively small number compared with the number of Caucasian participants. The fact that this sample of African American smokers was more ready to quit smoking might be one explanation why they reported lower family exposure to secondhand smoke in the vehicle and more frequent use of evidence-based methods. While culturally specific interventions have been shown to be effective, it is important to consider individual differences in providing culturally specific tobacco treatment with both African American and Caucasian smokers. Are there questions?
We won't pick up at the end.
Oh, I'm sorry. That's all I have. Thank you, Dr. Raines.